Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off the ball.
GAA.
See, my mindset would have been when I was in there, yeah, 100% play until my body gives up. And it's funny because when it's taken from your life, in my circumstance, but also when you step away, you're like, wow, there's more to life. There is genuinely more, I tell you.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Welcome along. It is Tuesday's Off The Ball. It is Will O'Callaghan with you between now and 10 p.m. Plenty for us to talk about. Brian O'Driscoll will be with us later this hour. We're going to look back on weekend one of the New Nations Championship, which has replaced the summer tours. Pretty good game. It has sold out Sydney at the weekend. Tom Clarkson's late try. Sam Prendergast with you between now and 10 p.m. Plenty for us to talk about. Brian O'Driscoll will be with us later this hour. We're going to look back on weekend one of the New Nations Championship, which has replaced the summer tours. Pretty good game. It has sold out Sydney at the weekend. Tom Clarkson's late try. Sam Prendergast holding his nerve with his late kick as Ireland edged out the Wallabies by 2 points. We had the All-Ireland semi-finals in the hurling on the weekend just gone by. We had a Cork second half collapse yet again, which is contrasted by Limerick's comeback win for the very last dance team of Clare, with many of their players likely to retire this summer. We know that Kilkenny are going to have a new look for next year with Henry Shefflin appointed last night as their new hurling manager. Richie Hogan, former hurler of the year, will be with us at 8 p.m. And Vinnie Perth is going to be here to talk about all the drama at the World Cup. So Cristiano Ronaldo, the first player in World Cup history to have 17 shots himself, but not set up a single one of his teammates for a shot during the tournament. Leo Messi now has 21 goals at the World Cup. It looks like his Argentina team have survived the scare of all scares against Morocco. They lead 3-2 deep in injury time. But there's going to be more time because the referee's been over and back flashing yellow cards at the Egyptian coaching team since they've gone 3-2 down. And we'll talk about the USA getting ripped to shreds by Belgium overnight as well. To break all this down, to look at the news of the day, Arthur O'Dea is here with me. How are you, Arthur?
Great.
And Stephen Doyle, what a day to wear your Argentina jersey into the studio.
Can I just say, I'm not one of these, I'm not really a football jersey out in the open kind of guy.
Right.
But it's so damn hot. And you get in the shower and you get out of the shower and you're sweating bricks. And it's just like, football shirts are just the best things to wear, you know. But bloody hell, what a game. Oof. This is like one of the most incredible World Cup matches I've ever watched. And we're only short of, because we're watching obviously here on the TV in studio, so we've got no sound, and you're looking at some of the crowd shots, and all we're short of basically is N17 by the Saw Doctors, and we could have full Galway celebrations after the All-Ireland Hurling semi-final win at the weekend.
Don't rule it out, because that Usher song continues to be used on all of the water breaks. Mr. Brightside at some of the other stadiums, and there is the full-time whistle, so 3-2
Argentina through. Well, can I just say, for, you know, and I don't want to be, you know, kind of throwing out some anti-English bias here, but, you know, there's a lot of people in the country here that are a little bit concerned about the fact that the Harry Kane and co are getting quite close to this World Cup final, and they are on the side of the draw. Mm-hmm. Of course, they have to play Norway in their quarter final, and if they can get through that, I'm sure, of course, Mr. Erling Haaland will have something to say about that, hopefully. They will possibly face either Colombia, Switzerland, who played the final last 16 match, or the great La Albi Celeste, who have just beaten Egypt now as well. So, listen, I don't want to get down on Egypt here. You know, a great country, and they've done some good country. Things.
Great country. Over the last 5,000 years, you know, or so, they've done a few things.
You know, some people say, what have the Egyptians ever done for us? Well, I can tell you, they've done a lot for us. But their football team, I would have been a little bit worried if they've gone through and possibly facing England in a in a semi-final at the World Cup.
I suppose for the very reasons now that they're not going through.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, like it did, they looked dead, the game. But like at the same time, there was that kind of like, I'm not completely writing this off. I'm not switching off from this. There's a chance here. But no, I think the greater good.
Yes.
In footballing terms.
That's it,
yeah. I think, look, the reality of this as well, Egypt have to close this out, Steve-O. So like I was kind of coming in out after they were 2-0 up. Argentina were looking frustrated. The crosses were all getting repelled at that point. But the minute that Argentina got a goal back, it's like the momentum entirely switched in this game.
Yeah, definitely. And we were out in the office speaking about it. Argentina 2-0 down. And I was kind of saying, oh, they can still score here. And if they score, that'll rattle Egypt. And I have to say, like, Egypt's defensive effort was tremendous. Their goalkeeper pulled off a lot of good saves. So here, listen, well, I'll give you the rundown of what actually happened, Will. So look, the World Cup holders trailing after 15 minutes and primarily down to Martinez. He was too deep, played Yasser Ibrahim onside, and the Egyptian defender beat the Manchester United club man in the air to head home the opener. The penalty spot, though, not Lionel Messi's friend, as avid World Cup watchers will know. And he demonstrated that once again in the 21st minute. The 2022 World Cup winning captain's poor effort was saved by the Egyptian keeper, Mustafa Shobir, who has pulled off some excellent saves in the match. Messi then also hit the post with a 30-yard free kick in the first half. Argentina huffed and puffed in the second half, but they were struggling to break down that congested Egyptian defence. And Argentina breathed a sigh of relief when they conceded to a counter-attack, but scored in the 58th minute. But the VAR ruled it out for a foul when Egypt had turned the ball over to start that counter-attack. It was Marouane Atia on Lisandro Martinez again, just looking really, really poor at the back for Argentina. But he got off at one there. Like the foul, I thought it was a little bit soft. I thought Egypt were hard done by in that one. But that goal ruled out. It could have been 2-0 to Egypt. But Albi Celeste caught on the counter again. And Mo Salah instrumental in the build-up as Mustafa Zico scored in the 67th minute to make it 2-0. And then the comeback began in the 79th minute. A header by Christian Romero, nodding home a Messi cross. Then Messi himself with a lovely half volley on the outside of the boot in the 83rd minute from inside the box to make it 2-2. And then Enzo Fernandez in the second of 7 minutes at a time, heading home. An incredible cross from the substitute, Lautaro Martinez. And cue wild celebrations as we're watching now, Will.
Balling,
you can see Messi bawling his eyes out there.
Messi was bawling his eyes out when he was hugging Molina pretty much at the full-time whistle. He still is when he goes over to supporters. He looks almost as relieved as the Limerick supporters who were sitting behind me in Croke Park at the weekend. That's where Messi is at the moment. This is pure relief, Arthur. I mean, they know that really they should have been gone with 15 minutes to go.
Yeah. It's strange, though. That is, because I suppose it's not like they're in uncharted territory. Like, there are designs on winning the thing again. It must obviously take an awful lot out of them. I suppose it's been a very hectic week.
Yeah.
You know, twice.
Extra time against Cape Verde. Yeah.
But that is interesting. You don't see that too often. Someone that's kind of done everything, been through it all. Just
I wonder if the fact that he missed the penalty.
Possibly.
And that could have made it 1-1. And I would say he was feeling pretty nervous thinking that, if this has cost my team, that's his fourth penalty miss out of
we
eight.
We dwell on this for a second.
Taken in the World Cup.
What do you make of that? Like, I think Ben was saying outside, like, he's missed something like 30 odd penalties.
Yeah,
first player ever to miss two in a single World
Cup. It's 34. I did this, the maths earlier. In his entire career, he's missed 23% of his penalties taken.
It doesn't make sense.
No.
Like,
clinical and open play.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense why he wouldn't be good at them. Because there's
his free kicks are so good.
He doesn't have a head issue. Like, he's not caught up in the nerves, obviously. He's done everything. Like, it wouldn't make too much sense. Unless there's something with the sports psych side of it. I'm kind of, maybe you can have some sort of minute issue like that doesn't affect your overall thing. But like, he's clutch as hell. Like, it's not like he's not an issue. But such a relatively poor penalty taker.
Do you take him off penalties, lads? If you're Argentina, I presume Scaloni doesn't turn around and go, yes, you're not taking one. But genuinely, if they get one now, last eight on, do you consider going, actually, leave it to Lautaro or leave it to someone else?
Yeah.
Enzo Fernandez goes up here. They're going up, maybe getting their lunch in the canteen. Gives him a little, hey, Leo, I just think maybe if there's a penalty in the next game, any chance you let me take it?
It's interesting. It's just, I don't know if there's much like it in sport, where just a fundamental skill like that from some guy who's so adept at everything, but could be kind of, I guess, maybe a lot of, I suppose, like, I was going to say, like, even maybe a lot of great hurlers or Gael footballers or whatever might not be able to hit freeze or whatever, but like that still seems like something they're probably not practicing it.
Yeah.
I suspect he's practicing it an awful lot. And it was a terrible penalty. Like, it was a shocker. Like, it was so straightforward for the keeper.
Yeah. The contrast there between Messi, who's actually still bawling his eyes out, very emotional, and you've got Enzo Fernandez with a smile beaming across his face, going up, flashing the guns to the fans. He's absolutely euphoric. And no surprise, having scored that winner in added time. Really amazing stuff. Like, it was just such a brilliant game. And again, like, you see this in the World Cup. Like, we know the standard of football isn't going to be as good as you might get in the Champions League, La Liga, Premier League, whatever the case may be. But I always say international competitions will never be beat, whether it be the European Championships, World Cup. I love a bit of AFCON. Like, there's nothing like the drama and the emotion involved when it comes to people supporting their country. It is the pinnacle of the game.
Yeah.
It's just the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last few nights have been pretty special as well. Like, the Mexico-England game was great. I wasn't thanking anyone for having to sit till 4 o'clock in the morning to watch it with that thunderstorm, but that game was absorbing. I enjoyed Norway and Brazil despite Brazil's deficiencies. Yep. Even last night, it kind of felt like there was a certain amount of justice against Portugal with the way that they played. We'll talk to Vinny about that in the football show a bit. And now we've just had a cracker here. Like, I was the first one to complain about the group stages being too bloated and too many teams and too many games to eliminate too few teams. Right now, Arthur, I'm loving the World Cup.
Three cheers for Gianni Infantino. Sometimes. Or, it's been fantastic. Like, even the stuff last night, like the I didn't watch it live, but the Belgium-USA and the from the Lukaku goal and then on into the dressing room afterwards and them all mocking Trump with a dance. And it's like, where else are you seeing this? This is unbelievable. It's like, I was trying to think about it. It's like, if you were thinking about that and you were like, posed that before the World Cup, you go like, okay, I can see some semblance of an idea why that might happen. But for the reasons it was happening, the whole thing, like all this micro drama in this one game, and it'll be completely forgotten now. It's irrelevant now. It's like passed on, who cares? But it was just, it's been a wonderful World Cup.
Joe Trump is thinking when he sees him doing the dance, hey, Gianni, they're doing my dance. I like these guys.
Even Onana, who got injured, was still doing the dance.
Oh, that's the best part. The crutches, on crutches.
All in the game 0-1 on YouTube, also pondering the same thing. So Messi's now missed 2 penalties this World Cup, still top scorer at the tournament, but do you take him off the penalties? Again, I think that's a brave conversation between Scaloni, his former teammate, and him, if he's going to go, Leo, just leave it off to someone else. But yeah. I think he still takes the next one.
Probably. Spike. And to be fair, like, I suppose anyone could miss a penalty. Mm. And there's a way of looking at it, I guess, if you're being very generous, that you'd be looking at him and kind of going like, he's still taking that responsibility on himself. So it's not like, even, like, again, not to have too much pity for Bruno Guimaraes, but like the other day, like, he looked distraught afterwards.
Yeah.
After missing that and they lose. And it's just like, I guess if it's, I know they said, Ancelotti said something about Vinny being well down the pecking order and that, which is strange, but I do think there's a sort of thing where it's just like, probably at this stage, you probably just need, like, who's got the strongest shoulders here, lads?
Yeah.
Because who's going to have to carry this if it all goes wrong? Like, because as you're saying, like, the upside of the international meaning more, like, God, I'd say it crushes you. Mm. I'd say that is a real tangible feeling if you mess up and your country goes out. Like,
when you think about Brahim Diaz in the final of the AFCON, like, oh my God.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think for Messi as well, as much as he has already conquered this mountain by winning the championship in 2022, he's basically spent the last year and a half in the MLS getting ready for the World Cup. Going there was partly for his family, but partly it was about being in the best condition possible for the World Cup. It's all about Argentina for him. I've never known a team that go to a finals that also have such a cult around the captain. And I mean that in a positive way. Like, you even see it before the game starts. Messi came out, I think, for the very first game and nobody walked onto the pitch until Messi walked out in front. That's the way this Argentina team is set up.
Yeah, it's interesting you say this, actually, after the night we watched Portugal beat by Spain. I was talking to Phil Egan about this earlier and the effect that both Ronaldo and Messi have on their respective squads because, and look, granted, Ronaldo's that little bit older, but he is, you know, apart from his couple of goals in a game and expecting to score in, he's provided absolutely nothing to that Portugal team in this World Cup tournament. And I would imagine that that is a real morale drain on that Portugal squad. So not only is his lack of playing ability, you know, proving to be a drain on the team within the tournament, it's also the effect that he has on the morale with the squad. Because I would say there's more than four or five players in that squad that are sick of the sight of him. And they're probably thinking, if he wasn't starting in this game, we'd have a much better chance of winning it.
Yeah.
Whereas Messi has the opposite effect. You can see that every single player in that Argentina squad holds him up on a pedestal. They absolutely love him. And having him in the team gives them that extra boost when they know there's a game in the fire. Granted, maybe if not depending on a penalty, but
yeah.
No, I'm joking. But like, you know, that it's a completely positive effect that he has on the morale of the Argentina squad. And there is the difference between Messi and Ronaldo at this current point in time.
Yeah, even like if you watch some of Cristiano's interviews over the last couple of days, last night was kind of like, you know, the world is an end, Cristiano is still going to be okay, and he was referring to himself in the third person when he was saying that as well. And he also said that winning Euro 2016 was an equivalent to winning the World Cup because of how difficult it is to win the Euros. So he's going to say he can sleep fine tonight, and I'm sure he will. 087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp line. Brian also making a fair point on the WhatsApp as well, where Alexis McAllister is a very good penalty taker as well. So there's another option on the pitch for Argentina. Argentina playing four centre midfielders. An awful lot of it feels like it's set up to get the most out of Messi. The others will do the running for him. And to Steve-O's point, they kind of galvanise around him as a team. So that is a very, very dramatic start to tonight's action at the World Cup. But we also have another football administrator has come out to talk about, this is a story that won't go away, the Belgium-USA game and the red card as well. So tell
us indeed. Sorry, I should just mention as well, Switzerland-Colombia. That one's in Vancouver tonight. So the winners of that will face Argentina in the quarterfinals. That game is at 9 o'clock. La Liga president Javier Tebas has said that FIFA's credibility is eroding following the decision to spare USA striker Florian Balogun from suspension at the World Cup. Balogun started in his team's 4-1 defeat against Belgium after his red card was controversially overturned, although not essentially overturned, it was the suspension or the ban that was suspended for 12 months. Tebas says it is the tip of the iceberg when criticising FIFA's governance. Belgian midfielder Nicolas Raskin believes that the drama of the situation worked in their favour.
To be fair, he's not wrong in terms of like Infantino and FIFA have made these decisions over the last while. So Inter Miami and the aforementioned Messi go into the Club World Cup just because. There was no reason. They hadn't won a competition or anything. It was just, come on along. We want to have Messi in our tournament. Cristiano Ronaldo gets a 3-game ban. Looks like he's going to miss the first two games of the World Cup. We'll cut it back to one so he can play at the World Cup. The American president's giving me a call. Wants us to review this red card with a different independent committee. Yeah, fair enough. We'll do that. Like, it's just FIFA, again, the World Cup is brilliant in spite of FIFA, Arthur.
I was certainly joking. I saw Oliver Kahn was tweeting out earlier as well about I think he wants Michael Ballack's yellow card in the 2002 World Cup semi-final reviewed and replay the final again.
I'd pay to watch the two teams now.
But like it's kind of thing. It's just it's amazing now how flagrant it is that there's you kind of always know, and there's some great kind of books and works that have been done like about FIFA pre-Infantino. And like it wasn't exactly a whole place beforehand, but it is just the degree now to which we see it all. And it's all just seems to be, there just seems to be no shame, which is jarring, but it's probably of the time.
Indeed. We do have an important Champions League game, which is underway. So I noticed this afternoon, for those who maybe weren't going to Malta to watch Shamrock Rovers, the stream or the plans for a stream at least fell through, didn't they?
I was trying to look into it a bit more. There seems to be a few disgruntled Shamrock Rovers supporters on social media. Now, I'm not sure, was there an added cost to getting the stream or whether it was cancelled altogether? So try and find that out. But they'll be disappointed anyway because it's half time in the Independence Ground in Floriana, where it's up to about 28, 29 degrees on an artificial surface. Floriana have taken the lead in the first minute of added time in that first half. And it is one of their new signings, Robert Muric, the Croatian centre forward who scored for Floriana in that game. Stephen Bradley did talk about a lot of new signings for that Maltese club. Three of them started the game tonight. That, of course, the first leg of their first round qualifier. They'll meet again at Tallaght Stadium next Tuesday, the second half to come.
Okay, we've had the draw for the quarterfinals of the Women's FAI Cup as well.
Yeah, some brilliant ties here, Will, because there's a Connacht derby to look forward to as Sligo Rovers go to Galway United. Then non-league Douglas Hull will entertain Cork City, just 6 kilometres separating the home grounds of those two clubs. There's also a North Dublin derby clash with Bohemians hosting Shelburne, and Shamrock Rovers have been drawn away to the holders at Lone Town. Those ties will be played across the first weekend of August.
Yeah, a couple of heavyweight ones there. The first two players into the quarterfinals of the women's tennis at the Wimbledon, who's gone through?
Yeah, well, we got the 14th seed from Japan, Naomi Osaka, being knocked out. The Czech 10th seed, Karolina Muchová, won their match on court number one in straight sets, 7-6, 6-4. Muchová will play the winner of the All-American clash. Coco Gauff won that one. She came from a set down to take out Jessica Pegula, 4-6, 6-3, 6-3. Gauff said afterwards she's feeling good with her performance at the All England Club.
Pretty insane, honestly, considering how I hadn't won a match on grass in 2 years before this tournament. So I'm definitely just really happy with how I played today. Jess is an incredible opponent and person, and playing against her is never easy.
The men's defending champion Jannik Sinner remains on course for another Wimbledon title after winning his quarterfinal at SW19. The Italian beat German Jan-Lennard Struff in straight sets on a red-hot day on court number one. Sinner admits he was pleased to overcome tough conditions after struggling in the high heat at the French Open earlier this year.
Okay,
thanks for reminding. Yeah, we worked a lot, especially after Paris, trying to understand what went wrong there. And, you know, we prepared ourselves in the best possible way. And in any case, it was a huge test today. I felt really, really comfortable.
Novak Djokovic could play the winner of that game, Jannik Sinner. It's a set to love to the Serb, who is taking on the Canadian Felix Auger-Aliassime. So a set to love there to Djokovic. Best of five, of course.
Indeed. And the good people out in the office have flicked on the tennis in perfect timing for us here at the end of the World Cup game. Russian athletes, Steve-O, we've got used to them, particularly in the summer games. Some having to compete as neutral athletes, and they weren't allowed to kind of officially compete over the last few years. But it looks like that might well change.
Indeed. The International Olympic Committee has provisionally lifted its ban on Russia. That decision paves the way for the country's athletes to return to the LA Games, or at the LA Games, in 2 years. That suspension's been in place since 2023, but a number of Russian competitors have taken part as neutrals in events since then.
Okay, we're going to have Richie Hogan with us after 8 o'clock to talk hurling, and we'll talk to him about the Kilkenny management hunt as well. I was talking to him last week and he was wondering about the timing and whether it was the right time for Henry Shefflin. Well, Henry Shefflin has now been given the official rubber stamp as manager.
Yeah, the old ratification was announced last night by the
Someone
county
had to say
board.
It.
Yeah, I tried to use different phrasing. But
No, stick with it.
Come on. It's Gaelic Games, as we know.
The only place it's ever used.
It's ever ratified.
So, yes, Henry Shefflin is the new manager of the senior hurlers. He succeeds Derek Ling as Kilkenny boss. The Ballyhale Shamrocks clubman won 10 All-Irelands with the Cats during his playing days and was most recently in charge of their under-20 side. Shefflin also managed Ballyhale to back-to-back All-Ireland club titles in 2019 and 20. The under-20s job didn't go too well, did it?
They had a bit of a lead against Galway this year.
Yeah.
Galway went on to the All-Ireland final. Again, he were in a decent position in that game. So, yeah, I mean...
No pressure.
No pressure, but as Paul Murphy, my hurling pod colleague, said when he was on breakfast this morning here and Off the Ball, he said that Henry Shefflin, given everything he did as a player and given the drive that he had, and Paul's career would have overlapped with the very end of Henry when he was kind of fighting against the dying of the light but was still coming up with big match performances for Kilkenny, he was saying that he wouldn't go in here unless he believed that he could do a really, really top job with his own county.
Mm.
I think the thing is, Arthur, I know I heard you and Tommy talking about this as the news is breaking last night. The Galway situation, it's very difficult to actually work out how much of that is down to Henry and how much of it is down to Micheál coming in and having local knowledge with the young players they have now.
Yeah. And it looks different managers in different situations, and it's very hard to, like, especially in GA, like, there isn't really, no one's really, very few successful managers are appointed with a track record,
mm-hmm.
necessarily, or like, just so to speak, like, you know, you might have a record, but not, it's not like professional sport, I guess. So it could just work. I mean, that didn't work. Now it does work. Like, it's a bit of a strange one, because, like, it was always going to happen.
Mm.
So it's like, whether time, and I suppose only time will tell. I'm sure people thought, again, post Shefflin, that Donoghue going back to Galway, it's like, oh, it's a bit of a bad mistake. There's nothing there. And all of a sudden, 12 months later, they're in All-Ireland final. Do you know, these things happen quickly. And we were kind of talking about it yesterday, like, but for an outrageous mistake by GAA officials or whatever. Kilkenny were in probably, possibly an All-Ireland final last year.
Yeah. Mm.
So like that's, they're not a million miles away by any stretch. And he probably gets the whole thing going the same way like Jimmy Barry Murphy going back to Cork and whatever in the 90s and gets it back going again. You know, I think there's that possibility always.
I think so too.
I think as well, managers in any sport, like the amount of experience he's banked now over those last few years as manager, both at Ballyhale, with Galway, huge amount of experience. Like, you know, so it's not like he's going in, you know, fresh here. Like, he's got a lot of experience. I think that's going to definitely help him over the next couple of years.
Yeah, all the talk as well is David Hardy has already made the decision to go from Tipperary back to Kilkenny as a coach in the team next year. They're talking about potentially Brian Hogan becoming part of the management team as well. So it could be some of these guys who were picking up experience over the last few years all coming as a big Kilkenny management team. So Shefflin may well be to the forefront, but the backroom team will probably tell us a lot. And just before we finish up, and Brian Driscoll standing by to have a chat to us about the rugby from the weekend, the Ireland under 20 rugby team, how did they get on today?
Yeah, well, they ran in 11 tries to finish their pool campaign at the Junior World Championship in Tbilisi on a high. There was a first half hat trick for out half Charlie O'Shea as Ireland hammered the USA 73-22. Having lost to England and Argentina, Ireland will now vie for a position in the 9th to 12th finishing segment in the remaining two games at the tournament.
My thanks to Steve-O for joining us. The news round, of course, is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets that contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. The maximum dosage is 1 50mg tablet per day. Always read the label. You can buy online at viagraconnect.ie. It is subject to availability following a consultation with your pharmacist.
Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.